This podcast is brought to you by Microsoft Teams. When there's more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team. Got to keep losing, man.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Because you've come this far.
That's a Jet touchdown.
Live.
The Jets get their first win of the season.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Every time I say,
got to keep losing,
a piece of me dies.
I mean, it's the greatest feeling in sports, you know, to be able to ice the game out and know we had it.
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests. From NBC Sports, Peter King. Army head coach, Jeff Monken. Plus, Fox Sports NFL analyst, Aqib Talib. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. It's so festive. It's so festive around here, huh? Look, we got a tree, we got gifts, we got poinsettias.
Woo-hoo!
Or poinsettias or whatever. I'm a Jew. I don't know what those plants are called.
I'm in a mood.
Yeah! You're happy.
I've arrived in a mood today. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We are thrilled to be here on Christmas week 2020. I am your humble host, best dad ever, taking pride in me being a family man and loving people who love me. That's what I'm doing.
I love you, Chris Brockman.
Good to see you over there.
I love you.
How are you, Chris? Good to see you over there.
I am great.
Good to see you over there. Dressed as a man whose team is freshly eliminated and having a losing record for the first time since 2000. That's the way the first Brady-less season in New England is wound up, but that's okay. You're all smiles.
Doesn't matter.
Loving the misery of others. Good to see you, Mike Del Tufo.
Good to see you, Rich. Very good.
And then all of a sudden, T.J. Jefferson's Cowboys win a fifth game, and he's feeling like he's won the Super Bowl. Exactly why Stephen A. Smith hates him and everyone else like
him. How about them Cowboys?
Okay. So... we are now shy of tonight's Monday night game of the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cincinnati Bengals, and must win for the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's the way we're talking, because not only did the Kansas City Chiefs win yesterday, but the Cleveland Browns did as well. I know that the Browns stubbed their toes against the Ravens, but still, one never knows in this National Football League, and if Pittsburgh still has designs on the top seed in the conference, and I have a feeling that the way they are playing, that they're somehow, some way hoping that the Steelers gets that top seed, because they aren't playing nearly as well as the defending Super Bowl champs. But the defending Super Bowl champs are going to have to trip up at home in order to relinquish their right to stay at home all the way up until, if they keep winning, they have to get on a plane to go to Tampa for the Super Bowl, because Kansas City finished up their road schedule yesterday, and they finished it up in New Orleans, where Drew Brees came out in the first quarter and looked like a 40-year-old man coming back from multiple broken ribs who hasn't played in a month. And it took some time till Brees got things rolling, minus Michael Thomas. Took some time till he got things rolling. And somehow, some way, this Saints team, and this is what I will take out of this, that the Chiefs win another game, and they win another game on the road, and they win another game on the road where it does not look like they are world beaters, because they're not beating the world by multiple touchdowns like you would think an unbeatable team should look like. But an unbeatable team doesn't win every game by two or three touchdowns. We do not see the annual fantastic NFL Films documentary called America's Game that debuts the first week of a new season chronicling the previous Super Bowl team's winning season. We don't ever see that America's Game with all the people who are recounting that championship season going, yeah, that was a piece of cake. How's it snap? There's always adversity. There's always losing streaks, except in the case of this current team having only lost one game. And there's always tough games on the road. There's always that target on your back when you're the defending Super Bowl champs. And you get everybody's best game. And they got that from New Orleans, despite New Orleans having a 40-plus-year-old quarterback playing his first game in a month. And I'll say this about Drew Brees. You could make a case that the start that Drew Brees made yesterday, 40-plus-year-old guy, hasn't played in a month. Definitely has to still be feeling the effects of broken ribs, and he even confirmed that after the game yesterday. And all the Brees haters out there, I'm sure, will say, well, he's excuse-making and all that. But he's a 40-plus-year-old man coming back from multiple rib injuries that punctured his lung. Hadn't played in a month. You could make a case that was a tougher start to try and win than the one Justin Herbert made in his first career start, learning against this very same team he's about to start because his teammate and starting quarterback had his own punctured lung, suffered in a pregame shot. You could make this case. Herbert had no experience. He could just rely on being a young buck and just doesn't know what he doesn't know, as opposed to a goat who knows everything and can use his neck-up ability. But his body just wasn't functioning. It looked like the ball never came out of his hand well. It looked like he couldn't drive it down the field. Eventually, he did begin to get his sea legs, and that's what I'll take out of this game for the Saints, who now are looking up at the Packers and need some help. They need some help to try and get back that one seed. But the Saints had a 40-plus-year-old guy who hadn't started in a month with a bunch of broken ribs that punctured his lung. I know I've said that five times, but I can't say it enough. They didn't have Michael Thomas, and they didn't have the usual discipline from the defense and Cameron Jordan throwing a punch and getting a gate. He even said it was this loss was on him.
I still can't believe that happened.
And it was a crucial third down. And
too smart of a player.
Put it all together, it was the sixth time this season in which Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce had scored in the same game, but I had it looked up by the fantastic folks at NFL Research, NFL Network Research. It was the first time all season it had happened in a quarter, and it happened in the first quarter. They literally got one of the best punches the Chiefs could throw at them. And they still only lost by three. Still only lost by three. I would take that and run with it if I'm the Saints. You got Brees back. He's got his rust knocked off. You're still, you know, in position to win this division. Hasn't been clinched yet. Hasn't been clinched yet. And Kansas City gave them a great knockout punch in the first quarter. They were staggered by it, but survived it. New Orleans final games, we'll see them on Friday on Christmas. That is a big game for the Vikings as well. And it's one of those revenge games. Obviously, the Saints would love to stick it right in Minnesota. I don't have the playoff clinching or elimination scenarios in front of me yet. I'd imagine that would eliminate the Vikings from playoff contention this year, just as the Vikings did to the Saints last year and won and dunning them in the Superdome after the whole Minnesota miracle 2 years before that. They'd love to stick it to them, and then they finish up at Carolina, a totally winnable game. So that's what's in front of the Saints, and the Chiefs now go home. Still the one seed. They take on Atlanta and then the Chargers. And if I'm the Chiefs, I'd let Atlanta take a lead because, I mean, my gosh. That was a big win for Tampa yesterday. Coming back from 17 down, winning that game. Tom Brady comes back on Atlanta again. I know that's a narrative that's low-hanging fruit, but it happened yesterday. And the Saints need to get a win to clinch this thing. Maybe Friday is it. Kansas City will have to finish out the rest of the season without Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Looks like he's out for the year.
For the year? They said he could be back for the playoffs.
Ian Rapoport saying likely done for the year.
Well, that splits that he suffered yesterday towards the end of the game, it looked like bad news. Couldn't even put any weight on his left leg as he went off the field. But, hey, at least the Kansas City Chiefs have somebody right there in Le'Veon Bell, who also scored yesterday. And that turns me to what the people want. I got a ton of texts and tweets yesterday. Oh, did I get a ton of texts and tweets yesterday? I am now here to give what those people want. There's two five-word phrases. There's two five-word phrases that set up my Jet fandom, that can encapsulate my Jet fandom of 51-plus years. Two five-word phrases. One of them, what the hell just happened? That's one of them. But that sometimes is reserved for moments that the trap door opens when I'm beginning to feel like there's a win there, or a winning season there, or a winning season in which there could actually be playoff hopes. And then there are playoff games in which the Jets make and they actually win. And then maybe it makes me think they could go on a run. And then what the hell happened? What the hell just happened? I said that actually three rows from the top of the stadium at whatever the hell they called Mile High at the time. I think it was still called Mile High. When, yes, I was a SportsCenter anchor at the time, sitting two rows from the top of the stadium for the AFC Championship game that Bill Parcells had made with Vinny Testaverde and the Jets, and had the Broncos up, where their backs against the wall. Jets took a halftime lead in that AFC Championship game. I was sitting there in my Wesley Walker jersey that still fit me from Camp Loconda days with my name stitched in the back so they knew which bunk to return it to from the laundry. I actually did that. And people were like, what the hell is a SportsCenter guy doing here? I was a Jet fan. That's what I was doing. And then opening kickoff, right to Dave Meggett, lets it drop in front of him, doesn't catch it. Broncos get the ball, score a touchdown. Later on, Keith Byers fumbles, another one of Parcells' guys, and I'm sitting there at the top of the stadium. What the hell just happened? Which leads me to the other five-word phrase. Do not get me started. Do not get me started. Reserved for days like yesterday and days like today. And unfortunately, days upon days upon days upon end until the seeming inevitable happens when the Jacksonville Jaguars select Trevor Lawrence first overall. Because as we sit here today, because the Jets followed up their 37-point demoralizing loss to the Seahawks last week with an inexplicable, put it all together, virtually mistake-free football game by beating the 9-win Los Angeles Rams, who we all adore here on this set and have been talking about having Super Bowl hopes and don't sleep on this team, and they win a game, and all we talk about is the team that lost and how that's a terrible moment for them and how it infects their playoff hopes as opposed to how it affects the Rams' charge atop the NFC West, and then the NFC. And now here we are talking about the team that beat the Rams. Because do not get me started, this now leaves the Jets on the outside looking in, because the way everything else broke yesterday, the strength of schedule tiebreak that decides who does get the first overall pick, it's kind of like your golf game. If you want to hit it far, swing easy. It's counterintuitive. If you have the toughest strength of schedule, that works against you. Because if you have the easier strength of schedule and you suck, the NFL says you have sucked worse than the team with the same record and a more difficult strength of schedule. And I reached out to my friends at the National Football League. I've, if you will, flexed my insider muscle to give you the information. And I have it here in front of me. I have it here in front of me from my friend Michael North, who reached in and I don't believe I've ever met Joe Ferreira, but he just broke some terrible news to me from the NFL. He's like, Jacksonville has the lower strength of schedule clinched. Right now, Jacksonville trails strength of schedule by 12.5 wins with 14 possible improvements, but four of those will also give the Jets a game as well. In just plain language, quote, the Jets may have cost themselves Trevor Lawrence with that win yesterday. Because even if the Jets and the Jaguars both win another game, they wind up with two wins. Jacksonville still has that tiebreak. And here's the most Jet thing of all. Most Jet thing of all. I looked it up because I need therapy. I need therapy, and I use this as therapy. Has there ever been an instance of a team being 1-15 and not getting the first overall pick? Have the Jets set up themselves to set the most mind-blowing thing for all of us Jets fans to have to swallow? And the answer is kinda. Ready for the answer here, Chris?
I actually sat down
and did this because I need help. My child yesterday, Cooper, age 9, looks at me and he goes, "Dad, are you so upset that the Jets won today?
Three so's?
Yes." And I said to him, "Yes, Cooper, I am.
Very, very, very.
Yes, Cooper, I am." And I know I should be sitting there and saying to my 9-year-old, "This is an example of guts and determination and pride. This is a group of men who sat on that plane ride from Seattle back to New Jersey last week, knowing they just suffered one of the most awful losses in the history of the National Football League to make them 0-13. And they, through guts, determination, and pride, we made fun of Sam Darnold last week on this show, talking about he's looking forward to facing Aaron Donald. I know I should be turning to my son and saying, that is someone to root for right there, Coop. No matter when it looks like you are done and finished and the whole world thinks you stink, you say, no, I believe in myself. You are Frank Gore. You're going to the Hall of Fame. I say, no, I will not have 0-16 on my record. You look at Adam Gase and say, he is out of a gig. He's gone. Everybody wants him gone. He says, no, we will come up with a game plan to beat Sean McVay after they beat the Patriots. This is what we will do because we are grown-ass men and professionals with pride. I know I should be looking at my son in the face and saying exactly that without the grown-ass man stuff. But I know I should be doing that. But instead, I look at him and I say, no. No. I'm upset. Here's the numbers. As we've showed Trevor Lawrence beating Notre Dame on the screen, and here I thought, slide, Trevor. Slide, please. Get him out of the game. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 teams since the league expanded to 16 games have gone 1-15. Every last one of them got the first overall selection in the draft, with the exception of one. The 2001 Carolina Panthers, but they went into the season knowing that in the 2002 draft, Houston would have the first overall selection because in 1999, they were born as an expansion team, and every team went into that season knowing you're playing for only the second overall pick. I looked it up. What was the worst record of the other teams in seasons in which everyone went 0-16 for the history books? By everyone, I mean the 2017 Cleveland Browns. They went 0-16. The worst after that was 3-13 Giants. The 2008 Lions went 0-16. Both Kansas City and the Rams went 2-14. So, no one went 1-15 there. The 0-5, just said whatever. 0-14 Tampa, 1976. The other worst teams were 2-12 Seattle and Buffalo. I just said, screw it. Let's keep going back. Let's keep going back. 1973, 72, 71, three teams finished 1-13. They all got the first overall selection. I had to go back to 1969, the year of my birth, the year the Jets actually won the Super Bowl. I found an instance where the Steelers and the Bears both went 1-13. Both of them went 1-13, and the Steelers got the first overall selection in the 1970 draft because Pete Rozelle flipped a coin, and the Steelers got the first overall selection and chose Terry Bradshaw. That's how that went down. So I say Rich. This. Hey, Roger, RG1, go get that silver dollar and flip it. Can we? No, I guess we can't. Hey, hold on a second. The Jets were one of those 1-15 teams. that got the first overall selection before? What did they do with that? Maybe something else happened negative there that I could at least hang my hat on it, but maybe we don't need it. Nope, they traded the pick that year to the St. Louis Rams for Orlando Pace for the sixth overall pick, a third, fourth, and a seventh that amounted to nothing. And then they traded out of that sixth overall pick to Seattle, who drafted Walter Jones. Both those guys are in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Do not get me started. Do not get me started. I can't handle it because from now all the way through to the end of the season and then all the way through to the draft, I'm going to be staring at Trevor Lawrence. We had him. And I've gotten a gravy boat for his wedding, and enjoy that, because the gravy is going to be all over the Thanksgiving table and Christmas table for the Jacksonville Jaguars, unless, and this is where the fandom comes in, unless there's one hope. Like, literally, I feel like taking a video and making it and sending it to this person through R2-D2 and saying, you're our only hope. Mitch Trubisky. Mitch Trubisky, you take on the Jacksonville Jaguars next week. I know you have it in you. I know it. I know you have it in you. I know you've got it in you. I've seen it. I need that Trubisky next week. I need that Trubisky next week because Jacksonville takes on Indianapolis the following week, and Phillip Rivers isn't going to do it because Phillip may need that game to win the AFC South. You're our only hope, Mitchell Trubisky. Do it. Show up and just, I can't find my receivers. Who's that Allen Robinson guy who wants to beat Jacksonville, so I need to feed him? No. Don't throw it to him. I want him bitching on social media and unfollowing all the Bears by the end of the game. I need Gardner Minshew. I need you showing up, man. I need you showing up like you just hammered your hand to try and break it in college because you're nuts. I need you showing up like Burt Reynolds, man. Just show up and fling it around. You're our only hope. I'm a desperate man. Do not get me started. What the hell just happened? Both of them are applicable. That's that. I do feel better. No, I don't, because I'm going to sit there. I don't have to host this thing. And Trevor standing up there with a Jaguars jersey. Yeah. Look at the headlines in New York. The Grinches stole Trevor.
The Daily News. Just...
I mean.
Look at that. Wow. The Daily News putting Trevor in a mask.
Like an elf
costume. Celebrating the fact that he's not going to the Jets, who are celebrating on the turf like they just won the Super Bowl. Lawrence Welp is the host. A one and a boo-hoo as first win likely costs Jets shot at Trevor. And I'm not ready for the, well, would the Jets take a quarterback with the second overall pick? I'm not there yet. It's going to take me a long time to get there.
Or at least like an hour until an overreaction Monday.
No. Yeah. Okay. I'll steel myself. Okay. Let's take a break. Let's be on time for Peter King. Jeff Monken feels totally screwed over as well as the Army head football coach. 9-2 without a bowl. Staring at SEC teams with two wins and going to one. And Aqib Talib, who took over the NFL yesterday. Peter King when we come back.
Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. With Together Mode, you can bring everyone together in one space in the same virtual room. You can bring the power of true collaboration to your projects with Whiteboard. Drawing, sharing, and building ideas in real time, all on the same page. And with large gallery view, you can see more of your team all at once with up to 49 people on screen, all at the same time. You can even raise your hand virtually so everyone can be seen and heard. When there are more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams.
Store is open. Go to richeisenstore.com. Be the first on your block with one of these babies. T-shirts, both long and, of course, short sleeve in white or heather gray.
We've got hats, hats, people. And, of course, start your day with a cup of Joe and a Rich Eisen Show coffee mug. Go to richeisenstore.com and shop your head off right now. All right, everybody. Peter King's going to join us in a few seconds. And I know Peter's on hold right now, so my apologies to get late. But I just, you know, got into my Jets stuff probably a little late. I talked about the Saints. I thought they're, you know, I know moral victories are not what somebody like Breeze or Peyton's looking for. But the fact that they came that close in a game in which so much went wrong for them. I thought they can hang their hats on something like that moving forward. We didn't even talk at all about that Arizona Cardinals game, but we will do that with Aqib Talib, who called that game in hour number three on the Rich Eisen Show. And we'll get to our poll question. Everyone on hold, please stay on hold. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial back here on the Mightier 1090 and our radio affiliates, as well as Sirius XM Channel 211 on NBC Sports Audio. Peter King, kind enough to call in. Fresh off yet another must-read Football Morning in America piece on NBCSports.com and from Pro Football Talk as well. How are you, Peter?
Hey, Rich. Blessed are the imaginative ones, because if you had told me Aqib Talib would have been either the or one of the star analysts of this year,
yep,
I might have thought that's intriguing, but I'm not sure I would have believed you. The same way that, you know, putting Steve Kornacki on the big board to do playoff projections the way he does the Electoral College, it was great by NBC. But, you know, look, Aqib Talib, I was watching the game yesterday and I said, this guy isn't just good. He's fun.
Yep.
And he is exactly like sitting next to a guy at a bar who really knows what he's talking about and just blurts out whatever he thinks.
Well, and if you've ever watched a game with a former player, and I've been so fortunate to do that for damn near two decades at NFL Network, although this year, you know, with the pandemic, I haven't watched games with anybody except my family at home.
Yeah.
It's exactly what it sounds like. I mean, it's exactly what it sounds like.
Right.
A player basically giving you the unvarnished truth about what's going on the field and what he's thinking, and also seeing pre-snap stuff, analyzing post-snap. I thought he was tremendous. Yeah, and that's one of the many reasons why I want to have him on. That, and ask him who makes his suits. I can't wait to ask him that question.
I mean, that's one of the great suits in broadcast history.
Agreed.
It really is. It was utterly great.
Excellent. And I'll be talking with Aqib later on in hour number three here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk about Peter. I mean, how do the Eagles turn back to Wentz? Period, right? I mean, I know that that's a total knee-jerk reaction after just two starts, but does Jalen Hurts have it or what, man? I mean, that's a fact.
He has it. And, you know, last week at the top of my column, I talked to Lincoln Riley about him, and he said something to me that, you know, that you sort of don't realize until you really give his story some thoughts. Who has ever been so set up to step into a situation like Philadelphia, then who better than Jalen Hurts? I mean, think about it. You're coached by Nick Saban. You're benched by Nick Saban. You are you get a second life with Nick Saban. You lose your job again in Nick Saban's scheme, and you've got to transfer, and you've got to prove yourself all in 1 year. And he does that, and then he goes to Philadelphia. He's supposed to just be this forgotten piece. And look what he does. But, I mean, I just think it's perfect. And, Rich, one other thing about this that, and I realize everybody wants to kill Carson Wentz, and for a lot of different reasons, I get it. But the one thing that I think people forgot when he was drafted is that, you know, Howie Roseman didn't just look at this as the prospect of, hey, getting a really good player on our team. The backup quarterback on your team, if he has to play, becomes a top five important player. So people like Howie Roseman, who I think are really smart about this, basically say, why wouldn't we use the 53rd pick in the draft when we have a team where the quarterback has been hurt and couldn't finish two seasons already, and we don't want our season to be over. when the quarterback gets hurt. And so, look, all in all, a really good pickup by the Eagles. And I think, who knows, it's only been 2 weeks, but two more weeks like this, and I think they got to look for a market for Carson Wentz, and there definitely will be one.
And the interesting aspect is, conflicting reports as to whether Wentz wants out, which would be a remarkable situation because that's exactly what Jalen Hurts refused to do when he lost his job in college. It is just amazing, this story, how it is playing out, how Hurts got to this point, as you pointed out, and now where Wentz goes from here. What do you know about this and whether it matters about trade value and things like that? Because, again, Hurts has totally sent a jolt through this team that we were wondering if Wentz was able to provide for 3 months. Peter.
Yeah. By the way, I thought Bucky Brooks had a great tweet yesterday. He said, being a quarterback on an NFL team is not a lifetime appointment. Carson Wentz is ticked off the way it was handled. Wah, wah, wah. I think everybody in Philadelphia is ticked off the way he played. However that does turn out, I think the one thing about what is next is what the market is. And, last week I talked to two people who I thought might be in the market for a quarterback this coming off season. And there's definitely some interest. Now, one or more of these teams, one or both of these teams, could actually pick a quarterback in the draft. The great accelerator on this, Rich, is that it's got to be done in the middle of March because, A, he's got a $10 million bonus coming on the third day of the league year, and, B, his money next year becomes guaranteed if he's still on the team the third day of the league year. So the Eagles have got to have a meeting of the mind with him probably no later than about February 15th or 20th, so that if they do feel that they have to move them, they've got time to generate whatever that would be. And the good thing for the Eagles to force them to do this then is that you're going to force a team before they might be ready to, they might have their draft board together. Like, who do you want? You want to trade for Carson Wentz and pay him a lot of money, or do you want to draft Trey Lance and bring him in on a rookie contract for 4 years? That's the big, a bunch of these teams are going to have that sort of issue.
Peter King here on the Rich Eisen Show. And then Hurts' next two games are de facto elimination games because here we go, man. We've got the Dallas Cowboys, who are the only team in that division to have won yesterday. They're still not out of it. And you could say Philadelphia, they win out, they still have a shot. I know I saw Kornacki saying that Washington's probability to win, but Haskins finally did begin to get some traction towards the end of the game against Seattle, but this thing is totally wide open, and Philadelphia could win this thing at 6-9-1. That's an entire possibility right now, Peter.
It's a vague possibility, but you're right. They still have something to play for. I think the odd thing, whatever happens in this division, that I think that everybody needs to look at is that all of these teams have major surgery to do. It isn't like, they're all going to show up next year and Dak Prescott's back, we're going to be okay. Philadelphia says, whoever our quarterback is, don't worry, we'll be okay. The Giants have major needs on that team. As does obviously Washington. They need a long-term quarterback. So that division, this is not like a mulligan year,
right?
In that division, this is a division that truly does stink, and is going to need some major surgery in this offseason.
Well, and interesting enough, Ron Rivera could clinch the division against his team that let him go in Carolina. That's an interesting Week 16 narrative. When we start looking a little bit more over the steering wheel, I got Peter King here on the Rich Eisen Show. Two Saturday games with Aaron Rodgers taking care of the first half of business and then saying it was kind of a disappointing win because Carolina made a game of it towards the end on Saturday. And then, my God, is Josh Allen just bringing his A game and coming for everybody's soul right now? The Bills, the way they are playing, are you buying them as a shot, as the best chance to beat the Chiefs if they see each other on
an
AFC championship?
That's a great question. If I had to pick a team right now that I think has the best chance to beat Kansas City in the AFC, I'd either pick Buffalo or Tennessee. I think they're both capable. I mean, Tennessee now is so explosive and has the ability to do what Bill Parcells' Giants teams used to do, just possess the ball for 35, 37 minutes and just wear teams down. And they've got two very explosive receivers. So that's a dangerous, dangerous team. And then obviously the Bills, the amazing thing is I wrote in my column, I mean, think about this, Rich, that, you know, the Buffalo Bills right now have, I think, 79 players under contract, active practice squad IR. Okay. Two of them were there the day that Sean McDermott walked into the building on January 15th, 2017. That's less than 4 years ago. This is an expansion team with a really good quarterback. That's what the Bills are. And it's just amazing the job that that McDermott and Brandon Bean have done.
Interesting you say those two teams, Peter, because I had NFL Network research look it up because I'm wondering. Josh Allen and Ryan Tannehill are the first pair of quarterbacks to throw for 200 passing yards in a game, run for two, pass for two, and both win on the same weekend. We've never seen that before in the NFL. So both of these teams have got quarterbacks that are hot, and both of these teams are teams that we assume Kansas City is going to see moving on. I got Peter King here on the Rich Eisen Show. And it does look like there's going to be a high-quality team, if not a 10-win team, that even in the expanded playoffs of the seventh seed is going to miss it out in the AFC. Who do you think that team might be over the next 2 weeks, Peter King?
I don't know. You know, when I saw Kornacki's percentages last night and with Baltimore having an 83% chance to make the playoffs, the team you got to zero in on really is Miami. Because of the difficulty of their schedule. And, you know, the big question is, I think the Bills would say we're going to play, but are the Bills going to play that last weekend of the season if it doesn't matter? When I say, are they going to play, are they going to pull a, for instance, Baltimore last year where they rested like five starters, including Lamar Jackson?
Right.
I don't know. I don't know how Josh Allen is feeling physically. He appears to be fine. But you look at this team, and, you know, if Miami has to go to Buffalo and win the game, and Buffalo is playing the game for seeding or whatever, I mean, that's going to be a really tough game for Miami to win. I'm not saying they can't win it. But it might come down to that. But again... I think the sad thing is, the really, really sad thing is that I think Miami could beat almost anybody on the right day, and especially if Tua plays an efficient game because their defense is that good.
And then I guess the last one for you, Peter, is what to make of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers' comeback? Is it just the usual that Brady is Atlanta's daddy, but that second half – had nothing to do with the past. It had to do with Fournette coming alive and Antonio Brown going deep and Brady making his throws to Gronk and everyone else. He was spreading it around. He did look this looked great. I mean, I got to tell you, that second half looked great. Do you think? I guess that's the $64,000 question, that this is it finally for Tampa, that second half?
You know, Rich, I mean, Tom Brady against an aggressive defense threw for 320 yards in the second half, threw for 320 yards in one half
right.
of football. And you look at that and you just say, okay, is finally the light bulb gone on for everybody in Tampa? But Brady said something really interesting after the game. You know, we don't have four footballs. Some days people are going to be happy. Some days they're not going to get the ball. And so I don't know who he was talking about. Maybe he was just talking generically, but I kind of thought that maybe he's talking about Antonio Brown in there, because clearly, you know, Brown had not been getting the ball as much as he wanted to. And Antonio Brown still obviously is a great, great talent. But Rich, I think the Bucs, I'm not saying they're boom or bust, but there's no question to me the Bucs can make a run. And because even if they have to go to Green Bay, I mean, Tom Brady has won some frigid games in his life, many of them, in fact, and he would not be that much affected by having to play in 11-degree wind chill with the wind blowing sideways. But I, I think they could do it, but I also think they could be one and done, because that's what the Bucs have shown this year. I don't think that just because they played great yesterday, they got it now. They're all set. They've been a very good team at times, but they've also been a very disappointing team at other times, and not just offensively. For a team with that much talent on defense, they've given up some big days on defense too. So if there's one mystery team, I think, in the league right now, they would be that mystery team to me.
Peter, you're the man. Have a great Christmas. Have a great holiday season. Let's talk on the other side of the calendar.
Sounds great, Rich. Really appreciate it. You have a good day.
Right back at you. That's Peter King. Check out his Football Morning in America column on NBCSports.com, ProFootballTalk.com. The Eagles made a little bit of news, although we're expecting it. And that conversation will hit that. I've got two teams that I just talked about with Peter who I thought had dynamite weekends and have a huge opportunity over the next 2 weeks here. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial, and we'll take your phone calls on the other side as well. That's how we're rolling here on this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Now, there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in one space with a new virtual room. Collaborate live. Drawing, sharing, and building ideas with everyone on the same page. And make sure more of your team is seen and heard with up to 49 people on screen at once. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams.
The Duttons are back. Yellowstone Season 3, starring Kevin Costner, is streaming now exclusively on Peacock. Whether you're a newcomer to the ranch or a seasoned pro, you don't want to miss this epic season. Stream all three seasons on Peacock right now.
I mean, look at me. Just a...
Come on now. At some point, we're going to need you. I know you were tweeting out the office gifs yesterday while you were watching the game.
That was therapy, like, as well for me.
Just like the range of emotions you were feeling while you... I know you watched beginning to end. So just
With Cooper sitting next to me.
Yeah, you can take us through that at some point today.
Why do I want to take you through it? I thought I already just did.
Well, no, you just kind of was like, don't get me started.
All right, if you want later on, I'll give you a couple minutes of question and answer if you'd like. Because I don't know if I'm really in the... I'm still not in the mood to talk much about it. But I know I gotta
talking
talk
is
about
the only way to get through. Yeah.
It's therapeutic, Rich.
Yeah, it's sorry, through. Rich Eisen.
Thank you very much, everybody. Back here on the Mightier 1090 and the rest of the Rich Eisen Show radio network, including Sirius XM Channel 211, NBC Sports Audio. Stop me if you thought this would happen. Jalen Hurts is going to start the next game for the Philadelphia Eagles. So what? Stop me. Dude, I'm telling you, I know... It's total knee-jerk reaction. I know you cannot take a number two overall selection in the draft who had an MVP-type campaign going until he went down to a knee injury in a season that wound up with a Super Bowl because of Nick Foles' play, yes, but also because Carson Wentz had the Eagles in position for the one seed for that team when he went down. That you take that guy who then could not finish the following season but did answer the bell to the tune of all 16 games last year, finished up strong, got the team in the playoffs, won the division last year. You cannot just sit here and say, off of two starts, that guy's done. He'll never start another game at that franchise again. But then again, we've never seen anybody again before. We've never seen anybody before in this current construct after the lockout when things were changed based on how you can pay people who you draft in the NFL. We've never seen anybody sign that big fat contract, earn it, sign it, regress to the point where you have to start that second round choice that you made. You gotta, because the way it was going with your guy that you gave nine figures to, untenable. Absolutely had to put a stop to it. Never seen that before. And now the guy who comes in that situation, who's, again, in an unprecedented position, balls out. Balls out. I'll say it literally and figuratively. Okay. Beats the top seed in the NFC in his first home start and damn near overcomes a 400-yard, two-touchdown, one-rushing-touchdown performance from his opponent, who he succeeded in Oklahoma, in Kyler Murray, who is on point. And DeAndre Hopkins, on point. My God. Oh. Larry Fitzgerald scored a touchdown yesterday, too. Jalen Hurts, 63 on the ground and a score, three touchdowns, 338 in the air and a score. How in the hell do you say, you know what, that's all great, terrific. We just got to see what Carson's got again. We got to give him one more shot again because we're on the hook for so much to him. How do you do that? You can't. You cannot.
Can't do
and
that.
Now the Eagles take on the Dallas Cowboys this coming week, and what a huge football game this is in the Jerry Dome, in the Jones Mahal. Buddy. I mean, because, got to give it up. The only team that won in the NFC East yesterday were the Dallas Cowboys, who looked like a better offense without Ezekiel Elliott. I guess he's hurt. I'm serious. I guess he's not himself. He's hurt or whatever, but they looked good yesterday. And I know that was big Nick Mullins slinging it around, but Dallas came up with the win that they needed. Dallas is now in second place because they have the one game against the Giants that they've already played. They won that football game. Dallas takes on Philadelphia. And then in the final game of the season, Dallas takes on the Giants. And if they win both, they got a shot. Here's the problem. Washington needs to lose to Carolina. They got to lose. And I'll tell you what, because Dwayne Haskins still has not dropped his Huggies in the same way Jalen Hurts clearly did in just like one quarter of action against Green Bay when they threw him
Jalen
in there.
Jalen Hurts is awesome, man.
Okay. Jalen Hurts has played a ton more football than Dwayne Haskins at the collegiate level.
True.
But I don't know if Haskins has got to go in that game. That makes it more of a possibility because Carolina's in every game. They're not getting blown out most of the time here. And Ron Rivera could clinch against the team that says we're done now. And let's go with Matt Rhule. And they fire Marty Herney today and basically say, Matt Rhule's going to help choose a general manager. I mean, how about that? You go from Baylor to having the whole shooting match.
He has a six-year deal.
But it's a smart idea. Look, Pete Carroll and John Schneider have worked out, and the two of them are, you know, that's what you want. You want that model. Guy from college, big rah-rah guy, all of that business, you want him. Right? So, you know, I don't know if Dallas is going to win, but they got a shot. And the other team that had an amazing weekend, everyone else in the division lost, but that doesn't really matter because the top team that did, Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah.
I just couldn't believe how much of an egg they laid in that first half. Matt Ryan threw for 200-plus yards. He was throwing all over the place. No Julio Jones. They were just crushing it. And Tampa couldn't put anything together. Leonard Fournette was just one big total zero. And then second half hits. What is it with Brady being down by three scores to
Atlanta? That's when he gets comfortable. Against Atlanta.
Again, I understand that's the lowest of hanging fruit. Atlanta can't finish. Unfortunately for Raheem Morris, maybe he can't finish, you know, with the best chance to win this job. They did go 3-1 in their first four under him. They've now lost 4 of 5. They're 4-10. And Tampa just looked terrific, man. That second half, I know we've said it before when they boat raced Green Bay. I'll tell you this. They're probably not going to win the division. I think the Saints take care of the Vikings on Christmas Day and they open up their presents, and then that'll be that. Including, by the way, I mean, you want to have the worst possible time to have a short week for your 40-year-old coming off all those rib injuries. It's a Friday game after a Sunday game. That would be about it. But I think they still win that. But what Tampa had the door open, and as you know, I'm guilty as charged. We've been doing it all year. I made mention of it in my opening, if you will, take slash rant about my Jets. We're always focusing on the other team in a Rams game. But that, for the Rams, that loss to the Jets yesterday, I know that the coach said it's as demoralizing as we allow it to be, which is, I guess, the only thing Sean McVay can say. But, man, oh, man, that was a brutal loss for the Rams. The only positive, it was out of conference for them. That's the only positive. But it allowed Seattle to overtake the NFC West. Now, the Rams play Seattle next week. They can get right back on their horse and go win that football game up in Seattle when everybody thinks that they're not going to have really a shot because they just lost to the Jets. And the last time the Seahawks were home, they faced the Jets and had a totally different result and a totally different effort and totally different everything in execution. It would be just like the Rams to come back and win that one. But what it does is it opens the door for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to take that 5 seed, which is the catbird wild card seat, because they go and visit an NFC East team that more likely than not will have a losing record. I mean, I don't know if you'd want to volunteer to go have your quarterback chased down by Chase Young, who is definitely playing even better week in, week out. But I'd take my chances there. I would take my chances there than visiting the winner of the NFC West, right? Or taking on the Saints in week one. I'd rather do that.
Bucks Seahawks, that's a fun game.
I know, it's open. Well, I mean, Brady returning to the crime of the You Mad Bro game and all of that. You know, it's really, you know, a lot of great matchups. But the Bucks, I didn't think they'd have a shot at the 5 seed. But they do now. And hey, if the Vikings win, Bucks still can win this division. It's not over yet. It's not over yet because Tampa's last two bites at the apple are against the same Falcons team that they finish up the season with and at Detroit. Two winnable games. You're looking at 11 wins for them. And again, if New Orleans loses to Minnesota and then they go to Carolina, I mean, who the hell knows? They could still win the division. I mean, it's not out of the realm. You cannot say nothing's impossible anymore after what we saw about the Jets yesterday. You cannot at all say that anymore. Certainly in 2020. In that regard, again, you go, Mitchell Trubisky, you show me your stuff next week against the Jacksonville Jaguars. I want to see it. Do we have a poll question over there, Chris?
I have a couple options.
Okay.
One college-related, who's got the biggest beef for being left out of the playoffs?
Yes.
We didn't mention that.
Right.
And if you're Trevor Lawrence, where would you want to play in 2021? Jets, Jags, Clemson.
Yeah, I know people say Jacksonville because they think the Jets stink and he's a country guy. He's a small town guy who could get eaten up by New York City, whatever. I mean,
no,
I'm not into that one. I'd rather ask the other one about who got screwed over the most.
Okay.
And, you know, in college football playoffs, we'll talk to a head coach who's gotten screwed out of a bowl game. Army's coach, Jeff Monken, is going to join us in hour number two. And your phone calls, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. If you're on hold, stay on hold. I promise to take your calls when we come back and review the rest of Week 15 here on The Rich Eisen Show. You know what I mean? Like, you know, first of all, Clemson is not in the cards for Trevor Lawrence. It just isn't. There makes no sense. He would never return there. He's got nothing left to prove and everything to lose. You know? And so Clemson is not an option. And if he winds up in Jacksonville, I can't go there yet. I'm just not going to go there yet. I honestly can't go there yet. We can have this conversation tomorrow. I'm serious.
Fair.
I can't go there yet.
Yeah, fair. I mean, it's your show.
What? By the way, it's our show. I appreciate you saying it. But
we can have that convo then.
You know.
Yeah, Rick, you can just sit out while we talk about it.
You could do that in your power rankings video.
I know.
Rich, there were a lot of guys who did go back to college, though. I mean, who were guaranteed to be number one.
Who's that?
Matt Leinart, yeah. Peyton Manning. Just two, just off the top of my head, who, you know.
Different times, man. Matt,
I don't know if, I mean.
Andrew Luck stayed, right?
Andrew Luck stayed?
Yeah, this is not happening.
I'm just saying there is hope, just like there's hope for my team to get
to
the
playoffs. No. I don't want to go through this again and have a shot at them next year. This is it. This is the one time. That's what I'm saying. We're all dressed up, ready to go, 0-13. I mean, we did most of the hard work. Holy crap. I can't believe that happened.
I can't believe it either.
I can't believe it.
Do not get me started. Although we just got started. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in a new virtual room, collaborate live, building ideas on the same page, and see more of your team on screen at once. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams.